If you're visiting with us this morning, here's what we do each week in Liberty. We do some songs of praise and worship that way because we believe that God is present here. We believe that he's glorified, that he makes himself known as we sing and as we worship him, as we put our focus and our attention on him. And then generally what we do is we move into this kind of time now where we just want to share some things from the Word of God, okay, from the Bible. I want to share some thoughts with you this morning that I feel God has put on my heart to speak to you this morning. This is an important time, guys. Because we believe, now a lot of people think the Bible's just an old book, just a collection of myths or whatever, or that it's made up, but we believe this. We believe that the Bible is the very inspired Word of God, that God impressed on men's hearts what to write and when to write it, and that God makes himself knowable through this thing called his Word. I may just close that door in a second, because it's a bit noisy. Perfect. Thanks. Sorry. But in this thing, there is a Bible around. So in this thing called the Bible, you'll find all sorts of things. You'll find stories of how people interacted with God. You find stories of how people's lives were changed by God. You find things like poems and songs written in there that express people's heart towards God and truth about him. We find letters that were written from the early church as they discovered who this Jesus was who entered into history. And we believe that through all of that, that God communicates who he is. That this morning God would want you to know something about who he is. And I think that's an incredible prospect. And we've been working through a book in the Bible called Philippians, which was a letter written by the Apostle Paul. But I'm going to break with that this morning. And the reason why, we had the baby dedications this morning. And generally, when we dedicate babies, we make something kind of like these things with like a Bible verse on them. And they're like the kid's name, so that there's something for people to take home with them and something for them to remember, not just the day, boy, not just remember a good day, but remember the commitment that they made before the Lord this morning regarding their children, yeah? And what we do each time is we ask them for like their name and colors they like or whatever, but also for a Bible verse that they'd like to put on it. And so I was thinking during the week, what will I preach on? And I thought, wouldn't it be cool to preach on the Bible verses that these guys picked to go on their frames? I thought that would be a cool way to tie it in together. And so during the week, I still hadn't got anything. So I was in a bit of an in-between state thinking, I hope they don't pick some mad Bible verse that's impossible to preach on, or how am I going to do this, right? But anyway, I'm convinced that God was in this idea, because here's what happened, right? Darren and Kira sent me through this verse, which is John chapter 14, verse 27. And it says this, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I don't give you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." And I thought, okay, right, I can come up with a sermon around that. That's really inspirational. That's really encouraging. We all need peace or whatever. But then I was like, well, what if Philly and Linda send me something that's completely the opposite, right? Something completely different. Am I going to have to pick between the two of them, or am I going to have to do two mini sermons? But then they sent me this verse, which will be on the screens as well, from John chapter 16, verse 33, okay? And it says this, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And I was like, mind blown. Do you see the connection between these two verses? Do you see like that? They're like, they say practically the exact same thing. That the first two lines there says, the top one there, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." Look at the first two lines of the second one. It says, "I've told you these things so that you may have" what? "Peace." The third line on the top one says, "I do not give you as the world gives," talking about the world. It says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." The second one says, "In this world," okay, talking about the world as well, "you will have trouble." Trouble mentioned again. And again, heart mentioned again. "But take heart, because I have overcome the world." And I was like, God wants to say something this morning. God wants to say something to people about peace. God wants to give some people peace this morning. God wants some people whose hearts are troubled this morning to know what it is for your heart not to be troubled. But that just blows my mind. That, like, what are the chances of finding those two things, of two people randomly picking those two verses and them saying the same thing? It reminded me of this picture I saw a while ago. If Malachi puts it up there. See these two guys, right? You won't believe this. These two guys found each other just randomly on an Aer Lingus flight, or a Ryanair flight, sorry. One is Scottish, one is Irish. They're not related. And they just found each other on this flight. It's like their twin stranger. And that's what those verses are like, are twin strangers. They're the image of each other. Patrice actually tells me that she works in Palmerstown, and she says that somewhere around Palmerstown, there's an Indian version of me walking around. Seriously, she calls him Indian Rob when she sees him around. And I haven't seen him yet. I'm hoping when I do, he's like ridiculously good looking. Kind of. Otherwise, all my kind of illusions are blown. But these verses, if we get back to the verses, they're like this. They're like these twin strangers. They're like two random people pick them randomly, but they say the exact same thing for this morning. At the same time, the Lord puts it on my heart to preach about whatever these guys pick, and then they pick the same thing. God wants to say something to you this morning. And if you're listening, you can hear from God this morning. And that might sound out there to you if you're not used to coming to a church like this, that you could hear from God. But like I started by saying, that this word, the Bible, is the word of God. And that as we speak it, that it could impart something to you this morning, some peace. So let's pray before we get in. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, that I know that you're working in something this morning, Lord God. And I know, Father, that your heart is to give peace, Lord God. And I pray that even just right now, before I even speak, Lord, that you would speak to people's hearts, Lord, in a way that only you can. And let them know that this is for them this morning, that they came here looking for peace, Lord God, and that they can leave with peace in their hearts and peace in their minds and peace all over, Lord God. I bless you for your word, Lord. I pray as we spend time in it, Lord God, that we would do it justice, Lord God, that your voice would be louder than my voice, Lord God, that your heart would speak louder than anything that I want to say, Father God, and that your will would be done in this place, Lord. You knew, Father God, who was going to sit on each of those pews this morning, Lord. And you knew, Lord God, what you wanted to say, Father. So I pray that by your spirit, Lord, nothing would get in the way of that, Lord, that we give you our attention, Father God, all the attention that you're due, Lord God, and that you would have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so let's get stuck into them. So some background about these verses. They're only like two chapters apart in the Bible. And if you open it up and you have one of those Bibles where the words of Christ are in red, you'll see that the majority of like three chapters are all in red there. And what's happening right here is Jesus is about to be crucified. We all know the story, yeah, that Jesus was crucified on a cross, rose again. But this is just before Jesus was betrayed and handed over to the authorities, where he was tortured and then ultimately murdered on the cross. Just before that, these are his last words to the guys who he spent a couple of years with, his disciples, what they're called in the Bible. The guys who followed around with him, who decided they wanted to follow this guy, whose call was kind of on their hearts. And they followed him, and these are the last words that he says to him. And within that big kind of like portion of dialogue, starts in John chapter 13, runs through to about John 17, and these two verses are in the middle of that. So Jesus is speaking about peace, and it's like he repeats himself. He starts off in the conversation speaking about it, and then towards the end, in the second verse, he speaks about it again. And why is he so adamant to speak about peace? Well, because he knows that they're entering into a time that isn't going to be peaceful, yeah? That he's about to be crucified, he's about to be arrested, and all his disciples who are following him and expecting him to like be some sort of military ruler or take over the country or whatever, they're all going to be disillusioned, they're all going to be scattered, and he knows that they're going to need peace. God knows that you need peace this morning, because we all need it in some way, shape, or form. But what I'd love us to pick out is just a couple of things, right? And I won't take very long this morning. But if you notice from there, he speaks about peace in a strange kind of a way. Like when I if I was to say to someone, oh, I hope you have peace, okay? That's nice, okay? That's a nice kind of a thought. It's nice that someone would think well of you. Nice that someone would want you to have that. But Jesus doesn't say, I hope you have peace. Or he doesn't say, I hope that you find peace. Or he doesn't say, I hope that life is peaceful. He speaks about it in a strange way. He says this. He says, peace I leave with you. Meaning that he's leaving it there. Jesus is about to go to the cross. Peace I leave with you. And then he says, my peace I give to you in John 14. Peace I leave with you and peace I give to you. And then in John 16 down there, it says that I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. It's like Jesus has given them something. It's like it's something tangible to them. Do you know what I mean? It's not like just a wishful thought. It's not just like, I hope that you find love, or I hope that you find peace, I hope that you find happiness. It's like Jesus somehow believes that he has peace, and that it's something that he can give away as tangibly as me saying, like, here, have my iPad. Yeah? That it's something as real as that Jesus is saying, here, you can have this thing. That I'm leaving it with you, I'm giving it to you, you can have it. And it's worthwhile, before we go any further, to just look at what peace means in the Bible. Because peace, the word that's used in the Old Testament in particular, the Hebrew word for peace, the word you may have heard before, it's the word shalom. Yeah? Has anyone heard that word before? Shalom, okay? In fact, people in Israel today still kind of say hello and goodbye by saying shalom, yeah? And it's the word that's translated as peace inside our Bibles. But it means more than just peace like we would think about it, like a peace process or a country being at peace or a family being at peace or whatever. Shalom has this like all-encompassing meaning. It means like a wholeness, It means like a completeness. It means like a contentment and a fulfillment. It's not just peace as in like the absence of conflict or being without struggle, yeah? It's peace that's like speaking about like a fullness of life. That your life just feels full, yeah? That you feel content, that you feel happy, that you feel solid. You know what I mean? That you're at peace in life, yeah? So not just the abstract of something mad going on, but an inner state, an inner way of being that means that you feel whole and that you feel complete. And this was something that Jesus modeled out, which gives a credibility when he says, I'm giving it to you. Because in the middle of mad situations, Jesus modeled this fullness. He modeled this steadiness. He modeled this understanding of who he was that didn't let himself be battered by the things going on around him, but knew who he was in God, knew that he was God himself. And he modeled this fullness, and that's what he's offering to these guys, this peace. And the word that's used where it says, my peace I leave with you, that word leave, it's talking like a bequeathal. It's talking like an inheritance. Like I leave something to you in my will. So he's like, this is your inheritance because you've known me. Is this peace that I'm physically, like that I'm actually giving to you in reality, like into your soul, a peace that will pass understanding, a peace that's going to be in your life. He's saying, I'm leaving you well and whole. That's my parting gift to you. And I think that's a massive idea. I don't know if that's hit you this morning or not, but the idea that God could give us peace, that we could just take a hold of it, that we could just have peace, because we try to struggle for it, we try to work for it, we try and figure it out. But what if it's just that God's saying that, I want to give you peace this morning? That Jesus in the same way would say to us this morning, my peace I want to leave with you. That my peace I give to you, that in me you can have peace this morning. That Jesus would give you peace, because we don't think of peace as something that can be given. We genuinely don't. You may not have thought about it too much, but if you were to analyze your life, if you were to think about the things that you do and say and the way that you act, you'd see that we either think of peace as something that we find ourselves, something that we work towards, something that we struggle to attain, or we see peace as something that's just dependent on what's going on around us, yeah? And in these verses, we see Jesus kind of addressing those two ways of doing it. So he says in John 14, he says, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. And then the next line he says, I do not give to you as the world gives. I do not give to you as the world gives. You know, in the translation of the Bible that Darren and Kira picked for me to put on their thing, they said, the peace that I give is a gift that the world cannot give. Jesus is saying that you've experienced life. And he knows these guys have gone through life and that they'll have searched for peace. We all want peace of heart. We all want peace of mind. We all want a peaceful life, that feeling of wholeness, of completeness. And he's basically saying, I'm going to give you what it is that you've been searching for. You need to realize that what you've been searching for isn't something that you find by struggle and by work and all that sort of stuff. What you're searching for is really me. And I want to give myself to you. I want to give my peace to you. Do you recognize that there's actually nothing in this world that can really give you peace in your heart on a long-term basis, that can stop the restlessness that goes on inside us, that goes on in our minds, that can stop the drivenness that a lot of us feel, driving towards working harder and achieving, thinking that if we get there, we're going to feel peace, we're going to feel secure, we're going to feel whole, we're going to feel completed, fulfilled. That can stop the kind of constant searching and frustration that comes from looking for peace. We just did a whole series that you can check out. If you go to our church called Liberty Church, if you go to libertychurch.ie, you can listen to all the talks that we've done over the past like 10 years or so. But we just did a series called Counterfeit Gods, right? And in that, basically, we work through this idea that there's a load of things in life that we look to give ourselves significance, security, and fulfillment. That we all, at a heart level, want to feel significant. We want to feel our life makes a difference. We want to feel that this is about something. Yeah, security. We want to feel that things aren't going to just be pulled out from under us. We want to feel secure. And we want to feel fulfilled, that we can take steps towards achieving that significance. And we look to all sorts of things for that, guys. All sorts of things for that peace, for that shalom. Could be money. If I have more money in the bank, I'm going to feel that peace. I'm going to feel secure. Could be power. If I'm able to control my own situations, if I have enough power, enough control to control the things that are going on around me, I'll be at peace. It could be relationships, yeah? It could be if only that person was in my life, I'd be at peace. Or probably more likely, if only that person was out of my life, I would be at peace, yeah? But we look to all these sorts of things, and do you see, it's like our eyes are constantly looking to something else, and we're never fully getting there. And when we get what it is that we think we need, we find out that we then need something else. Can I ask you a question this morning, right? Just take a second to think about it. What's the thing that you think is standing in the way of your peace of mind, your peace of heart this morning? You don't have to shout it out or whatever, but just think internally. What's the thing? I'm sure it's the things you think about when you go to bed at night. I'm sure it's the thing that occupies your mind when nothing else is there. But what's the thing that you think is standing in the way of your peace this morning? That if I got past that, I'd be at peace. If I got past that, I'd be happy. Now, here's the thing, and this may be hard to hear for a second. But if you got past that thing that you think is standing in your way, I can all but guarantee you that the peace you were hoping for on the other side, you're not going to find there. There's nothing in my life experience, there's nothing in my engagement with people as a pastor that would say that getting out of a circumstance is the key to finding lasting peace. It may take a burden off you. I'm not saying that God wouldn't want you out of circumstances, that God wouldn't want to break through in your lives, because he does, and that's what he does. But if we're looking to circumstances to determine our peace of heart, if we're thinking that if I just find this relationship, if I just get this pay rise, if I just manage to pay these bills, then I'll be at peace. The reality is that on the other side of that is something else to steal your peace, yeah? That you get a new job and it turns out your new boss is just as much of a sap as your old boss, yeah? Or you get a pay raise and it turns out that your rent goes up at the same time, yeah? Or you get out of a relationship and you find out that it wasn't the other person that was the problem, it was really you that was the problem, because the same problems are in the next relationship, yeah? That we try and find peace in all these kind of ways, but that's not how we really can get it. The Bible seems to be holding something out towards us this morning. Jesus, by his word, seems to be holding something out this morning. What if he was telling the truth? If he said that the peace I give is a gift that the world can't give, but that I want to give it to you this morning. That the peace that he gives is a gift that the world can't give, but what if he wants to give it to you this morning? That should turn us to want to take a hold of it in all sorts of ways. The world can't give you peace. And in fact, Jesus takes it a step further. He says this, if we look at the third line of the second verse there, he says what? In this world you will have trouble. Yeah? Not only is the world not going to give you peace, the world is going to give you trouble. Okay? It's probably the opposite of peace. That's what we can expect from living in a fallen world, that there's going to be trouble all around us. Yeah? And I think that hits on the second way that we think of peace in a limited way, is that we think of peace as the absence of trouble. If there was no trouble, then I'd be at peace. If this thing was gone out of my life, then I'd be at peace. Like we're only not at peace because of situations that are around us. But here's the truth. Here's what I've found in my own life. The only thing that I need to not be at peace is me. The only thing that I need to be at turmoil inside is me, is my own heart, is my own mind. That even if everything was perfect around me, there's still something that can go on inside me that steals that joy, that robs that peace. But here's the thing. Jesus says that in the middle of this, even though the world is going to give you trouble, he says that I'm going to give you peace. It's not like he's saying, put your faith in me and the world will stop giving you trouble. He's saying, put your faith in me and I will give you peace, even in the midst of that trouble. Yeah? Does that make sense? That the peace he's talking about then, if you stay with me for a second, the peace that he's talking about can't be the absence of trouble. It can't be everything going right in your life. It can't be when all your family situations work out. It can't be when you have enough money in the bank. That kind of peace can't be based on that, because he's saying in this verse, I give you peace, but in the world you're going to have trouble. Yeah? Are you with me? So we need to apply that to our lives. Because I think if we examined our hearts, we'd see that very often the way we try and find peace is to try and get out of trouble. That trouble steals our peace. That it throws us off kilter. That it makes us uneasy. That it hangs over us. And here's right. If you just listen to me for a second, there's probably situations hanging over you this morning, and you'd love peace. And the only way you can see that happening is if your situation changed. I'm guaranteed that there's something in your life that's that way this morning. A situation that you can think of that you would love peace, but the only way that you can see that peace happening is if the situation changed. Now hear this. Jesus promises you peace in the middle of that situation. Even if that situation doesn't change, Jesus promises you peace right in the middle of that situation. In this world you'll have trouble, but what's the last line say? Take heart, because I've overcome the world. Jesus offers you peace right in the middle of that. Very often we want situations to change, but when we pray to God, when we put our faith in him, what he does is he changes us. He gifts us with his peace. He gives us a peace of himself, a peace that isn't dependent on circumstances and that's independent from what's going on outside. That's a heart thing. Here's a great example, speaking about hearts. I know I prayed a bit about it when I was praying for Tig, but Linda told me that, strangely enough, or coincidentally enough, or if you want to be a Christian about it, in God's time and enough, right? Today, this day, 4 years ago, is the day that Tig was taken in for that operation that I prayed about. This very day, 4 years ago, Tig was born, and I don't fully know the name of the complication or whatever, but Linda, it was basically like his heart was plumbed in the wrong way. Yeah, like that, yeah, that, does that make sense? That the side that was meant to be pumping was kind of pulling, the side that was meant to be pulling was pumping, that the blood was flowing the wrong way around his body. And Tig wasn't going to survive in that state. And he had to go in for an operation a couple of days old. And it was a life or death operation, guys. And Linda was telling me that, and as she was telling me, I was feeling it. Anyone who's a parent, when you hear another parent speak about that, the feeling of that you would have of hopelessness, of helplessness, of what's going on, of this thing that I treasure, this thing that's been brought into my world, and now I could lose it. Absolutely, like, terrifying thing. And I was expecting Linda to say she was in bits or whatever, but she says that the one thing she remembers from that situation, when he was taken in for the operation and it was for a couple of hours and she didn't know whether she was getting her boy back or not, the one thing she remembers right in the middle of that, she says, was she had this just peace, this calm that she couldn't explain. And so much so, isn't this true, Linda? She said it stands out to her that she was like, where did that come from? Now she knows where it came from, yeah? But there's a peace. The Bible says there's a peace that passes understanding. Everything about that situation says you should be frantic, says you should be mad, says you should be off your head. But what happens in the middle of it? God gifts us with a peace. Right in the middle of the circumstances. You might want God to change your circumstances this morning. You may want to try and change your circumstances yourself. What if God said right in the middle of what it is that you're facing today, you can have peace? The Bible describes it as a peace that passes understanding. In the book of Philippians we're working through. Meaning a peace that doesn't even make sense to the world. That peace doesn't make sense to the world. Yeah, it shouldn't have been at peace in that kind of situation. A peace that you can't even understand, that you can't explain, that doesn't make sense if you look at everything that's going on around, you should be going mad. But there's a peace that's beyond understanding, a peace that's in our heart. And that's the third and final thing that these two verses have in common. It talks about our hearts, yeah? In the top one it says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And in the bottom one, it says, in this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And it's only because he's given us this gift that he's able to say, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Outside of that, that just seems, it sounds like good advice, yeah? Oh, don't be troubled, don't be afraid. But unless Jesus is actually able to give us what he said he was giving us, then it's unfair of him to ask us to do that, yeah? Because we can't muster that up. In the middle of a fearful situation, you can't muster that up and just say, oh, I'm just not going to be afraid. Our emotions respond to the realities of what's going on around us, yeah? We can't say to our hearts, oh, don't be troubled. Outside of God. But if Jesus is really offering us this, if really at the beginning of these verses when he says, I'm going to give it to you, then he's able to say at the end, do not let your hearts be troubled. He's able to say, do not be afraid, because he has gifted us with that peace. He's backing it up here. And it's the same with everything that Jesus says, actually. If you read through the whole Bible and all the things that Jesus said, the ways that it's good to live, the things that it's good to do, if you try and do all of them outside of the life of God inside you, then what you have is just a religion. Yeah, what you have is just a set of rules that you're trying to work towards in your own attempt to gain some peace. But here's the gospel, here's the good news, the thing that we call the gospel, that Jesus offers freely as a gift all the things that you've been looking for in life. Significance, fulfillment, security, peace of mind and heart, that Jesus came, he died on the cross and he rose again so that the separation between you and God could be unseparated and that you could be connected again to your Father in heaven, who is the source of all those things. That we were made for relationship with God. We were made to know God, to be known by him, that he would be our source of peace. He would be our source of joy. He'd be our source of comfort and of strength in the midst of the world. But we fell because of sin, because of things that we choose in independence from God from. And Jesus comes and he remedies that. And this is the gospel. The gospel means the good news. The good news is that you don't have to struggle to find peace, that Jesus offers it to you this morning. You don't have to struggle to find significance. Jesus offers it to you this morning. You don't have to struggle to live a good life hoping that one day you get to heaven. Jesus offers that as a free gift called grace that he gives to you. And out of that, then, our lives are transformed. Out of that, we're free to stop struggling and to start living. We're free to stop striving and to start living. That Jesus holds that out towards us this morning. Jesus wasn't just a teacher with a good message. He didn't just come to teach us. He came to transform us. He didn't just come to try and convince us to live better lives. Jesus came to give us his very life. Notice what it says at the end of verse 16. It says this, take heart. Take heart. The word heart there means courage. Some things say take courage. It's like, again, he's saying take it. You with me? Not just muster it up, not just be courageous, not just suck it up and get on with it. He's saying this, take heart. Like he's holding out his hand. This is what I'm giving to you. Do you want to take it? It's like his hands are extended this morning to us. This is what I'm offering. Do you want to take it? Not muster it up. If you need courage to get through things today, if you need peace of mind, if you need peace of heart, Jesus is offering it. How do we take it? We take it by a thing called faith, okay, which is a religious word that people throw around a lot of the time. But faith means this simply. It means belief. It means believing things. And there's a thing that happens when we engage with the word of God, that we believe God spoke through this word. When by faith we believe it, basically believing this is what it says, this is what I'm going to, faith, yeah? Jesus is holding out this thing, this offer, this gift that's being held out before us this morning. How do we take it? We take it by a thing the Bible calls faith. And faith means this, it means believing what he said. Now here's the thing. You have to believe what he said before you experience it. That's how faith works. It's like belief without seeing. In some ways, it's belief without seeing. If you talk to anybody who's from this church, they'll be able to tell you and show you and let you see what it looks like. Because they'll be able to tell you the peace that God has placed into their lives. They'll be able to tell you the breakthrough that God has brought. They'll be able to tell you when by faith they chose to believe in the promises of God, the way that it's transformed their lives and it's used them to transform other people's lives. But for you this morning, if you want to take a hold of that, it's by faith. It's believing what he said. Now, we've heard what he said this morning. We've heard that he said he's offering us this gift of peace. Faith does this. Faith just says, I want it. Faith does this. It says that I'm putting my trust in that. And by default, that also means that we take our trust out of the other things. It means the end of striving. It means the end of looking to working towards things and struggling, trying to attain this. It means to put our faith in Jesus means that we take a hold of what Jesus has for us. That we put our faith in that what he did on the cross was enough, that the life that he offers is enough. And when we put our faith in that, it becomes a reality in our lives. If you're on the other side of putting your faith in that, they may sound mad to you this morning. But believe me, from this side of it, having done it, I can't think of any other way that you would want to live. Any other way that you would want to live. That God who made you wants relationship with you this morning, and he calls you into that. Faith is believing that. If you want peace this morning, the peace that passes understanding, I suppose the biggest peace, and you may or may not have ever thought about this, but the biggest peace that we really need is peace between us and God. Like if I was to ask you again this morning, I'm getting you to think a lot today, but if I was to ask you, are you at peace with God? Honestly, take a second to just go up into your head for a second there and ask yourself, are you at peace with God? Or another question, is God at peace with you? What do you think? If the answer is no to that this morning, yeah, that you don't feel you're at peace with God or that God is at peace with you, chances are if you're anything like me, I was to ask you why that is. Probably a load of behaviors would come up, things that you've done or attitudes that you have, or you don't know my past, Rod, you don't know what I've been through, you don't know my present, you don't know what I'm facing, you don't know how I was raised, you don't know the things people said about me, you don't know whatever. Chances are they're the things that you would say is why you're not at peace with God. Here's another thing that the gospel says. The gospel calls those things sin. Basically anything that doesn't come out of relationship with God. Anything that hinders our relationship with God. That makes you feel that you're not at peace with God. Here's what the Bible says Jesus did. That on the cross he died and took our place. And that he rose again so that that disconnection could be gone. And so that when we ask for the forgiveness of those sins, we can be absolutely 100% confident and guaranteed that they're gone. That God says he separates them as far as the east is from the west. That God remembers them no more, recalls them no more. And that when you do that, if you ask yourself the question this morning, is God at peace with you? If you've done that and asked the Lord to forgive your sins, then the answer is absolutely 100% yes, God is at peace with you because of what Jesus has done. And you can know that absolutely 100% you are at peace with God because of what Jesus has done. How do you do that? How do you get at peace with God? The same thing that I've just talked about is faith. It's choosing to believe that. It's choosing to believe that God has done everything necessary through Jesus for you to have peace in him, and then for you to have that peace gifted to you. It says that Jesus comes and resides in our hearts. And a way that faith may look like this morning, you may go home and think about it and decide, well, look, I actually believe this. Or I'm actually going to give this a go, that this sounds true to me. That the Bible says that the Holy Spirit can connect with our hearts and draw us to Jesus. And you may feel, even in your heart this morning, that there's something resonating that says, do you know what, that makes sense. Do you know what, that's even though it may sound illogical or whatever, but that sounds true. I know that that's true in my heart this morning. By faith, you can take a hold of that. By faith, and faith is usually expressed in words. And what I'm going to do is finish by just praying. And feel free, we can all bow our heads, and you can pray with me. You can speak out, or you can pray in your head, or whatever. And I want to pray first for those who want to find peace with God. And then after, I want to release peace onto all of us here. I guarantee you that whether it's one person or whether it's every single person in this room, God has orchestrated this morning so that somebody has came here who is not at peace, who needs to leave with peace this morning, yeah? And if that's you, don't leave here without taking a hold of that, okay? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for today, Lord God. We bless you for these verses and even the assurance, Lord, that you want to say something today, Lord God. I'll pray first of all, Lord God, for those who don't know you, Lord. I pray that by your Spirit, Lord, you would just draw their hearts to you this morning, Lord God. And Lord, that they would know something resonating inside them, Father God, that says that your word is true, Lord. And if there's people here who don't know peace with you, don't know what it is to be in relationship with you, Father, I pray that you would just make them aware of that now, Lord God. And that in their hearts, they would pray something like this, Lord God. That I recognize my need for you, Lord God. I recognize that I can't get this stuff on my own. I've tried. I recognize that I'm not going to feel complete outside of you. I recognize that you've made me. And I recognize that you've made a way for me to know you through Jesus Christ. And I pray this morning, Lord God, that all those things that I think separate me from you, all those things that cause me not to be at peace with you, God, I pray that in Jesus' name they will be taken away. That you would forgive me for the things that I've done wrong, Lord. And let me know in my heart today that I am at peace with my Father, that I am at peace with my Creator, that I am at peace with my God, that I will put my faith in you, Jesus, as my Savior, and I will put my faith in you as my Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time this morning, please do come and talk to me or one of the people you've seen up here at the front, someone from the church, and let us know so we can pray with you and let you know how to get connected in. But here's what I want to do this morning. While we're still heads bowed on that, is I want to pray for peace. And like I said, I have absolutely no doubt that this morning there's somebody here and God has orchestrated this morning. You've came in here in a state where you know that you need peace in your heart. And God wants you to take a hold of it this morning. He doesn't want you to leave without it. And he's orchestrated everything that's gone on today so that your life could be transformed, that you could take a hold of this peace that he has for you. And if that's you, by faith, just agree with me in prayer this morning. Say, Father, I take a hold of it. I take it. If you're offering it, Lord God, I want it. That I know that I can't get this peace myself. I know that I can't change these circumstances. I know that I've struggled my whole life looking for this meaning, looking for significance, for fulfillment. And this morning, Lord God, if that's what you're offering, which it is, I take a hold of it by faith. I choose to put my trust in that, my belief in that. I take it. And I pray this morning by your Spirit, Lord God, that you would just impart peace that passes understanding right now into people's hearts and into their minds, Lord God, that the situations around them would fade into obscurity, Lord God, that they would be captured by who it is that you are, Lord God, by your greatness, Lord God, by your great love for them, Lord God, that you love them, Lord God, that you are in control, Lord God, that you work out all things, Lord God. I pray that your peace would make its way into our hearts in a real and a tangible way, Lord God. I pray, Father God, that that your peace would just prevail in Jesus' name. You know, I just had a picture I was praying, and it may sound a bit strange, but I had a picture of like a hospital bed when I was praying. And I pray, Father God, if there's someone here this morning, Lord, whose peace is being stolen by sickness, Lord, or whose peace is being stolen, Lord God, by worry about a loved one who's sick and in a hospital bed, Lord, I pray this morning that your peace, Lord God, would just break in today, Lord God. That they would leave here this morning, Lord God, not the same way that they came in, Lord. We just release, Lord God, your peace, Lord. Release your healing, Father God. Release your presence into our lives this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.